You will have noticed I have titled this talk, Religion is a Love Story. This might seem a bit odd, considering all the horrors perpetrated in the name of religion these days and in times past. However, I'd like to suggest that religion is about that to which we give our deepest devotion. Therefore, our religion might be about advancing our own personal wealth and power. Our religion might be serving what we believe to be a god of violence and vengeance as a way of acting out our own hostility towards others, born most probably from a sense of alienation and grievance. Or we can choose to live a way of love and service, and that may be our religion. In each case, our religion is about what we love and that which seems to make life meaningful for us, that to which we feel bound. Unless our outlook is one of nihilism or apathy, it is surely right that we should be concerned to identify our own highest values and to act upon them. Just because a tiny minority's view of righteousness seems to consist of carrying out acts of the utmost inhumanity and cruelty, in no way renders obsolete the quest to live by the highest truth we know. On the contrary, it should give even greater urgency to the living out and sharing of a religious vision of love and care. As will be apparent by now, I have been reading Karen Armstrong's 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life, which was originally published in 2011. Karen Armstrong is a former nun, now very well known as a writer on comparative religion and also a broadcaster. In 2008, she won a $100,000 prize from the TED organisation. TED do a lot of online talks that you can see on YouTube and elsewhere. She won that prize for her writing and interfaith work, and she decided those funds would be put towards the formulation of a worldwide charter for compassion involving representatives from different faiths contributing and members of the public contributing their ideas too. And the charter was launched in November 2009. And our National Unitarian General Assembly endorsed the Charter for Compassion at our annual meetings in 2011, and the General Assembly then became a partner organisation of the Charter movement. One of the initiatives that's taking place currently is to encourage cities and smaller communities to adopt the Charter. I think this is a good move. I increasingly despair of the attitude of national governments to global problems. And it seems to me increasingly likely that cities and towns across the globe with common problems will increasingly begin to share ideas laterally, recognising how much they have in common. Looking at the list of communities on the Charter for Compassion website that have signed up, the first one on the list, because it's alphabetical, is the town of Apeldoorn in Holland. Apeldoorn is on exactly the same latitude as Framlingham, 52 degrees north. Don't ask me right now how I made that connection. I know I can generally be relied upon as a source of useless information. To be clear, if you head out exactly due east across the North Sea and carry straight on a bit across the Netherlands, you'll come to Apeldoorn. Other better known localities that have signed the charter include Atlanta, Georgia, and Belfast, and Cape Town, South Africa. I'm sure it would be good for more communities across the world to sign up, to get compassion onto the civic agenda. Overall, I'm very impressed by Karen Armstrong's book, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. In the book, she explains why she wanted to create a global movement for the promotion of compassion, and she explains briefly how the movement came about. But mostly she concentrates on how we can work on bringing compassion into our own lives by means of 12 steps. And I'll discuss some of these in a little bit. Karen Armstrong links compassion with the principle of the Golden Rule. In her book, she points out that the Chinese sage Confucius, who lived 500 years before Christ, was perhaps the first to formulate the Golden Rule. She writes, "When asked which of his teachings his disciples could practice all day and every day, Confucius replied, 'Perhaps the saying about shu, consideration. Never do to others what you would not like them to do to you.' This," Confucius said, "was the thread that ran right through the spiritual method he called the Way and pulled all his teachings together." And Karen Armstrong then goes on to suggest that, quote, "A better translation of shu than consideration is likening to oneself. People should not put themselves in a special privileged category, but should relate their own experience to that of others all day and every day." And we can hardly deny that if everybody practiced the Golden Rule, the world would be transformed. To not do to others what one would not wish done to oneself would literally remodel society and the world for the better. And from the Christian tradition, we recall the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. "Do to others what you want them to do to you. This is the meaning of the law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets." Karen Armstrong also gives the example from the Jewish tradition of the Rabbi Hillel, an older contemporary of Jesus. The story goes that a pagan went up to Hillel and announced, somewhat provocatively, that he would convert to Judaism if Hillel could recite the whole of the Torah standing on one leg. To this, Hillel replied, "What is hateful to yourself, do not to your fellow man. That is the whole of the Torah, and the remainder is but commentary. Go study it." As Karen Armstrong correctly notes, Hillel, writing 2,000 years ago, is saying nothing whatsoever here concerning supposed correct beliefs about God. The very thing that people these days seem to automatically assume religion is about. Hillel summarizes the Torah here, which are also the first five books of the Christian Bible, wholly, wholly in terms of right behaviour. So what are the 12 steps to a compassionate life that Karen Armstrong identifies? They are as follows. Learn about compassion. Look at your own world. Show compassion for yourself. Empathy, mindfulness, action, how little we know. How should we speak to one another? Concern for everybody. Knowledge, recognition, and finally, love your enemies. In a brief talk like this, I can do no more than skim over the approach that Karen Armstrong puts forward in her 12 steps. I would really urge you to read the book if you haven't already. It's tremendously insightful, as well as presenting difficult ideas in a way that's very easy to understand. So to return to the steps themselves, Karen says to begin, learn about compassion as step one. And she points out, crucially, that we don't learn to drive by reading a manual, primarily. It's actually by performing the action that we learn. So it is with compassion, she suggests. So the learning she proposes is an active learning. Further, she also speaks in the first chapter about myth, or mythos in Greek. I may have talked about this before. A myth in this context does not mean something untrue. It means an archetypal story by which we can make sense of our lives. And in speaking of the Charter for Compassion, Karen Armstrong puts forward the same view that I do when I hear some Unitarians implying that our liberal faith is only a system of values. Karen writes, "The Charter was a joint document and does not reflect the vision of a particular tradition. So it is important to integrate it with a mythos that will motivate you. No teaching that is simply a list of directives can be effective. We need inspiration and motivation that reach to a level of the mind that is deeper than the rational. So, for Unitarians to truly learn about compassion, this implies, in the sense that Karen Armstrong means it, we either have to study Jesus's life and teachings, if we are Christian, or I suggest we should identify consciously other figures who embody compassion for us in order to learn from them, or at least to be inspired by them. By making them part of our own mythos, a worldview linked to a healing narrative that can sustain us in good times and bad. It might be a prominent, well-known person, contemporary or from history, or even just someone we know personally who inspires us. This is because thinking in abstractions is less transformative than when we ally our highest values to an overall story or mythos. Who would you choose as the exemplar of compassion who inspires you? The second stage of the 12 steps is to look at your own world. This looking involves trying to observe things with a bit more objectivity than usual, but beginning with those settings that are most familiar. So we may consider how we can bring more compassion first into our own family, then in our workplace or where we volunteer, church, and only then in wider society or the nation. And this chapter contains helpful questions we can ask ourselves to enable us to explore this theme more deeply. And in the third chapter, Compassion for Yourself, Karen Armstrong makes the vital point that we can't be compassionate towards others if we are not compassionate towards ourselves. Self-loathing, after all, has a tendency to be projected outwards onto others sooner or later. We have absolutely got to find ways to be kind to ourselves. Karen Armstrong suggests, without denying your faults, remember all the people you have helped and your successes at home and at work. A sense of humour is also important. We should be able to smile at our wryly at our failings. And in the fourth chapter, Karen Armstrong concentrates on empathy. I was really interested to see what a strong section there is on ancient Greek drama, particularly in light of my theatrical pursuits this week. She points out that the ancient Greek drama was not just an entertainment for the Greeks. It was much more than that. She says, the ancient Greeks, founders of the Western rational tradition, had a uniquely tragic view of life. And each year on the festival of Dionysus, the god of transformation, the leading playwrights of Athens presented tragic trilogies in a drama competition, which every citizen was obliged to attend. The plays usually dramatised one of the old myths, adapted to reflect the problem and situation of the city that year. This event was both a spiritual exercise and a civic meditation, which compelled the audience to empathise with men and women struggling with impossible decisions and facing up to the disastrous consequences of their actions. And Armstrong here is leading us to reflect on the vital role that the best art can play in enlarging our sympathies. As she says, plays, films, and novels can all enable us to enter imaginatively into other lives and make an empathic identification with people whose experiences are entirely different from our own. Then later in this chapter, Armstrong invites readers to build a form of meditation practice into daily life, which is designed to enlarge the scope of our empathy. To find out more about the later stages of Karen Armstrong's 12-step program for empathy, you will need to buy the book for yourselves. I'm running out of time. However, I want to stay with the subject of meditation and empathy for a moment. I would like to end with some remarks about our local situation. In our own small way, Framlingham Unitarian Meeting House has made more than a start this month in helping people develop greater compassion in their lives. For the past two Wednesday afternoons, our meeting house has hosted Barbara Winfield's new mindfulness meditation group. This is not only an opportunity to learn the discipline of mindfulness through meditation as a counter to the stresses of modern living, it is also about becoming more compassionate human beings. We are learning to do this through making a spiritual practice more of a daily routine. Through meditation and mindfulness, we are learning slowly to have a greater compassion for ourselves and our own failings. And in so doing, we are less likely to project anger and frustration onto others. Along with our Tuesday morning coffee morning Cafe Connect, which is open to all, but especially welcomes the lonely or those who are finding life hard, our mindfulness meditation sessions are contributing to enabling this meeting house to increasingly serve that function in the community that I believe all of us here are hoping it can. May this meeting house be a place of acceptance and compassion for all who enter its doors. Amen.
Amen.